Moncrief on News Talk.
If you're ever around Dublin, you'll notice that a lot of the buses carry adverts to recruit drivers. But it is questionable how that effort is going. Dublin Bus is now actively trying to recruit drivers in other countries. So why is that? We're joined by the Assistant Secretary General of the NBRU, Tom O'Connor. Afternoon, Tom.
Afternoon, Sean. Pleasure to be here.
Because the money seems to be good in those adverts and the sides of the buses. So what's it down to?
Well, look, it's down to the success. I mean, we've seen Bus Connects being implemented in Dublin and other cities, Limerick. But it's increased the number of bus routes exponentially. You know, so there's a huge demand for bus drivers outside of Dublin. There's a school transport system where I think there's 4,000 buses required every day. Mm. So there's a big demand for bus driving at the moment.
Yeah. But why do you think they can't recruit locally for all of those jobs?
Well, look, one anecdotal evidence is that the younger generation coming in, right, are coming in for a number of weeks and then leaving because of the shift work, late nights, weekends, public holidays. You know, it doesn't seem to be for a younger generation. Anyone that's lived through a recession would work all the hours under the sun. That Generation Z, haven't experienced the recession, and touch wood, hopefully they won't.
So it's just no one wants to do it. It's not regarded as a good job anymore.
Well, look, at shift work is onerous. Leo Varadkar, when he was there, introduced an extra public holiday, St. Bridget's Day, in recognition of COVID, you know. Mm. But unfortunately, the bus driver, like most frontline workers, still have to work on Bridget's Day, you know, so they don't get Bridget's Day off. So while huge swathes of workforce out there get to relax on Bridget's Day, the bus driver doesn't, because buses still have to run on public holidays.
At the moment, then, there is a shortage. So how are they making up that shortfall?
Well, I think that just that headcount, you know, the numbers in Dublin Bus recently, 3,341 bus drivers. You know, there was a point in time when there was about 2,200 bus drivers. So that'll show you the extent of the development of the network. But the D licence, say it's not for every. Dublin is a concrete jungle, a sprawling labyrinth. You know, driving the bus around there and being responsible for a 10-ton plus vehicle on the streets, watching out for cyclists, pedestrians, and I was a bus driver 20 years, so I know from first hand experience. Like, it's a lot of responsibility, you know. And then I say when you throw in the shift work, and the money, yeah, the money is good. Look, I'm a trade unionist. I'm never going to apologise for looking for more money for my members. That's what I do. So we'll always look for more money. But in relative terms today, given the price of rents and mortgages, like, the money's good, but it's not super.
Yeah. Is it a stressful job?
It is. It is. You know, I mean, you're dealing with your own internal stuff, your own timetables, the operation of the bus, issuing tickets. Our colleagues in Bus Ireland still handle cash this day and age. The cyclists, traffic, pedestrians, other road users, queries. You know, you have an awful lot going on at the one time.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, not behind the desk and 9 to 5.
Someone says, I take the bus every weekday to work, and the amount of abuse I see bus drivers take, who would do that job?
Well, that's another. I was in the Oireachtas there a number of weeks ago, and the NBRU have been calling for a dedicated transport police for quite a number of years now. We've led a campaign looking for that. Thankfully, it made its way into the programme for government. The minister was in the Oireachtas himself last week, and he indicated that the legislation is working its way through the machinations of the department, and this new force, centrally operated by the National Transport Authority, will have the powers of arrest and pursuit. And that's vital, because the initial stages, we were looking for an Garda Síochána, but the previous commissioner shut that down. So to tackle the scourge of antisocial behaviour, you need a transport police force with the appropriate powers, you know.
Mm.
So having bounces on buses wouldn't do. So the fact that they're going to have the powers of arrest and pursuit will go a long way to solving the scourge of antisocial behaviour.
Yeah, but sure, how many of them would you need?
Well, look
on a Saturday night in Dublin, how many buses is that?
We don't have a transport security police force at the moment. So,
yes, okay. You know,
it's going to assuage it. Like we'll start off, but it's going to be data-led. Like, we know where all the hotspots are.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The antisocial behaviour occurs in the same places. In the main, you know, I mean, there are some sporadic occurrences, but in the main, the antisocial behaviour occurs in the same spots around the country. So that's where you target your transport security force. And if you have a force that has the powers of arrest, that's visible and well trained, it will encourage people to make the modal shift from their car into public transport.
Yeah. Now, and at the moment, if someone is driving a bus on a Saturday night, and you know, they're aware if something kicks up off stairs, somebody's harassing somebody on the first tier or something.
Well, not necessarily. Not unless it becomes obvious. Like, yeah. If a big digger match erupts, yeah. Right, you become aware. But if the bus is full and there's a said to going on between a passenger and a tug, you know, you might become aware, and unless someone comes down and says, listen, there's someone being hassled up there.
Yeah. And what is the driver supposed to do at that point?
Stay in the cab.
Yeah.
Call for assistance. Don't get out. Don't be a Rambo. You know, there's no rewards here for getting out. Just call for assistance. Call central control. Contact an Garda Síochána. And deal with it. And that's the element we have missing at the moment is that transport security force who will be around the place if there were boots on the ground. And the minister said he hopes to have boots on the ground by the end of this year. So and that's a very positive step.
Yeah. And are they required to pull in and wait for the guards to turn up?
Or
Yeah. Which then, of course, that impacts everybody.
Impacts everybody, yeah. It does.
Yeah. And do drivers themselves... Are they subject to a lot of abuse from what you're
like
hearing?
The full spectrum. Like, you have verbal abuse, you have racial abuse, sexual abuse, you have threats, you know. I mean, the new thing now is, I'm going to come back, I know where you are, I'm going to stab you, I'm going to shoot you. That goes on. We've had two of our colleagues in the Northeast recently who have had to retire from their jobs due to the extent of the physical assault they got. You know, so, I mean, that's the far end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
They've been... assaulted so badly that they couldn't continue their bus driving career.
Yeah, and do these assaults tend to come out of nowhere, or perhaps are they trying to get off without paying?
No, the unprovoked. Unprovoked, yeah. You know. And I'm not a sociologist, don't ask me why it is, but we've seen I've seen an increase in the intensity of the assaults since COVID.
You
know, yeah. It sprung out of nowhere.
Yeah. Because maybe it's like if people are angry and are looking for someone to take that anger out on, a bus driver is an easy target.
Yeah, and fortunately enough, the drivers in the cities, Dublin, Cork, Limerick, the city services have the protection of a screen. The inter-urban coach fleet, and this was raised in Oireachtas again 2 weeks ago, they've no security screen. They don't have a safe place to work.
Yeah.
The manufacturer is blaming one thing, the company are saying another, that, you know, down to warranty, they can't, or safety standards. But it's not right that someone's out there exposed to this and doesn't even have the basic protection of a security screen.
Yeah. What it says about our society is kind of a bit depressing as well. They are actively trying to recruit people from outside the country to come and be bus drivers.
They are indeed, yeah.
Would you encourage anyone to become a bus driver, given everything you've just said?
I spent over 20 years at it. You know, it's given everything that goes on, it's still not a bad career. But people coming in, I have my reservations given the housing crisis we have. How sustainable is it to come in and after a number of months then to provide for your accommodation? Like, a corporation house now is going for $500,000. That's obscene money.
Yeah.
A monthly rent is 2,500. That's 5,000 gross. Yeah, that's outrageous. And we have an affordability crisis there. Don't matter how many houses or apartments we build, we've allowed institutional investors to come in and gobble up huge swathes of the housing stock, and that's what has the current affordability crisis we have in situ.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's quite likely people will come over, maybe take the job and then realise, I can't afford to live on.
Yep.
I can't afford to live here.
I don't know how sustainable it is in the long term to have the same group of people in place, because they'll face the same pressures that people over here currently with their outrageous rents and house prices.
And so, Tom, to kind of fix that, to create a situation where people already living in Ireland want to become bus drivers, What needs to be done, in your opinion? Is it about the money, or is it about other factors as well?
Well, look, I said to you, the money is one thing, and we'll never turn down additional money on behalf of our members. But it's also that the shift work, we need a new approach. We've been operating, some of the shifts that have been in place in the bus driving industry have been there for decades, you know. We need to have a conversation with experts. And look, I worked on rosters, but I'm not a roster expert. We need to bring in people. There was an element in the 2008 Act, Stakeholders Transport Forum. It was in previous programme for government. The minister did recently, when we met him, undertake that would be implemented. It's just that settle down on the list of stakeholders, and we could feed in the views of bus drivers and the shift work, shift patrons, and the reward for working public holidays and late Sundays and all that needs to be looked at.
Yeah, I mean, are they getting paid extra for shift work?
Well, look, it depends from what company. There's a compensation rate in play in Bus Ireland, so there's no premium payments there. Premium payments are still in place in Dublin Bus for public holidays and Sundays, you know, but work-life balance then, and you know, people value that now a lot more.
Yeah,
you know, that's,
yeah. Crikey. Jeez, Mac, this got an awful lot of comments from listeners, it must be said. Can we ask Tom, does the pension abatement affect people on government pensions? I have a full D licence and a military pension. That's a tech. I assume what he's asking, he's a military pension, so I'm assuming it's a man, so that if they became a bus driver, would they lose that? I don't think you're probably not in a position to answer
well,
that question.
Well, off the top of my head, that it's not the public service, so I think they'll be all right. We do have an ex-military and that driving, you know. I know some of them serve in the lab, so they do have the military pension and are able to keep it.
Yeah. Tom, thanks so much for coming into us today. That was Tom McConnell there, the Assistant Secretary General of the NBRU.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2. On News Talk. Conversation that counts.